25 years ago, I came into this teaching. And for the last 15 years, I've been making an attempt to practice it. Thank you for laughing, Brian. And when you make a sincere effort at anything for a while, you learn a lot about yourself and about your aspirations. And I believe your aim changes, your point of view, your world view changes. Because that's what new thought demands of us, is change, constant growth, release, make room for new ideas and creations and relationships. And when I hear a song like that, clearly we think about other people. But here's the thing. If you can't look in the mirror and say that about yourself, then all the work truly is in vain. We have been retitled as a Center for Spiritual Living, to take the truths as expressed in the perennial philosophy and given a uniquely and a potent American focus by Ernest Holmes and others, and to realize that there is that in you, that of you, that is God. And to bring that into expression as your heart's desires is the point of living. You know, our philosophy, as much as some folks don't really like to hear it, it really is based on the wisdom teachings of Jesus exclusively. But Jesus was a rabbi, you know. And so this comes from a truly cross-cultural notion about what is the deepest truth that we are all seeking to learn and to experience. And the deepest truth is the oldest truth. It is, I am that. I am that too. Not my everyday desires, not my needs and my clutchiness, but there is that of me that is pure peace, pure calmness, pure equanimity, pure serenity. And when we practice, however it is we choose to practice, when we engage in practices that focus our energies in those directions, we will find that we are in the perfect place to create a full life here. If we merely use mind power to attract things, then those things will leave us in time. If we seek first the kingdom, which is your wholeness, if we seek that first, all else will be added to you. You will have what you need. You will have what you require. You will have every help and need and tool you need to bring your fullest self into this world. And you will experience an abundance of whatever it is that you need to live a life uncommon, to live a life that is unique to you, for you, because it is of you, from you. I spent many weeks, about 2 months, talking about the 12 steps as a spiritual practice, which is good for all of us. And I hope that for those that heard, most of them realize that even if you don't feel that you have a problem of a severe nature, that we all are addicted to something, and mostly our addiction is to our sense of separation from the Godhead, of believing that we are separate or believing that we are less than anything, but an incarnation of the living God. And I could not complete the year if I didn't complete really that series. Is that Angela and Megan, all the way from Louisiana? Oh, how nice to see you. My goodness. I couldn't complete that series or the year unless I finished it, which was something that was always most moving to me. And they were called The Promises. And this is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84 and 85. For those of you who like that kind of thing. Or need it, right, yeah. But here's the deal. If we make an effort to engage in real spiritual practice, which again is not about dogma, not about ritual, not about memorizing anything, but living a life where we're honest with ourselves and other people and accept full responsibility for ourselves and seek to pay forward whatever good you've received. Right? This is what spiritual living is. This is what the promises are. If we were painstaking about that, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Here's the deal. In those few statements is summed up what a successful person appears as in the world. Someone that you want to not only be necessarily, but someone you want to be around. In the absence of, let's put it this way, in the absence of always being baffled, insecure, afraid of people, selfish, being useless, always being upset, filled with regrets and in bondage. I mean, hello, how attractive is that? Like not. Do you want to have lunch with that person? No. What are they going to talk about? how sorry they are, how awful their family was on Christmas, and how awful whatever movie it is they saw. I've done that. The people that you want to be, the person you want to be and the people you want to be around embodies all this. And darling friends, this only happens through spiritual practice. You have an opportunity to do that kind of spiritual practice, because some of it, if not really all of it, involves other people. That's why we gather in community. There's more good information and more wisdom and more opportunities to hear a positive message available now than in the history of the planet. You do not need to leave your computer to get a good teaching. You need to leave your computer and leave your home and gather around other human beings who share similar values so you may be in practice. And it doesn't matter if it comes quickly or if it comes slowly. But I can guarantee you, if you make the effort, you will not know despair. That is the healing that happened to me almost the moment I came into religious science in Dr. Walker's church. I knew that I was participating in something that was good. And if I stayed with it, I had a different opportunity of life. Not a different career, because that's going to happen anyway. I was not doing this when I first started. None of us have to aspire to be in ministry. This does not lead to ministry. This leads to you. This leads to each of us being effective, being gracious. And I'm going to say effective again, because, you know, when we talk about success, there's a subconscious thing that defaults into a certain amount of money. And success does not have to be about money, praise God, if it is. That's a good thing too. But to be effective in the world, which means what? That you can achieve the things that are important to you. That you know that you're making this time count. A lot of us study Buddhism in one form or another. These days, I always say that I'm slightly Buddhist. I'm not a Buddhist, really. And, you know, we can kind of get hooked into ideas about, well, if I don't get it in this lifetime, I can come back and learn it in another lifetime. I don't know about that. And I don't want to use that as a default. That aspect kind of smacks of religiosity to me. The basic teaching of Buddhism and Christianity and Judaism and Islam and oh so many other of the world's traditions is, you know what? This is it. There's something else after this, but right now, this is it. How can we be fully present here right now in peace and in joy? This is the great work. I want to repeat something in the promises here, because this is so important for me. This sentence, they are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. My facetious line about spiritual work is, you know, once you're in tune with the infinite, what's your hurry? You know. You've got this life. You cannot control when it all comes together. You cannot really anticipate when we will indeed cross a threshold. I know from my experience that I have heard ideas of truth at a certain point, and I thought, that is true. I know that that's true, and yet that's not my experience, or that's not how I was raised. But I have learned in time that I will look back and I will think, you know what, I really don't believe that anymore, that old idea that I grew up with. These are not clear boundaries. It's not like going through a toll booth and putting in your 50 cents and then moving through. The line is very uji. You don't know when you cross these thresholds, but if you stay on the path, and that's what your practice will allow you to do, is to stay on the path, you will find that these things do change. Some things do change in a flash. Most things, for me, have not. I am a slow learner. Don't be discouraged. It's worth it. Life of itself, if we look at this opportunity as a pure ground of being, is pretty amazing. To be living in North America at this time is a great advantage. I say this with sincerity. If you're living here now, your prosperity prayers have already been answered. Pick another topic. Get on with life. Find out how you can do better by yourself, for yourself, knowing that as we heal our stuff, we will be a blessing to the world and we will enjoy more freedom than we ever imagined we possibly could. That's the promise of living fulfilled. And if God, as life, wants anything for us, it is only that we come to full fruition, like any aspect of nature. Grow tall, be beautiful, come to full flower, please. And give it away. Give it all away. I want to conclude this talk with a piece written by Dr. Howard Thurman, who at a time early in my study for ministry, it was new. His work was new to me. And if you don't know him, he was an amazing man. He's worth learning more about. And he was very influential on Dr. King when Dr. King was a student at Boston University. And this is a blessing at year's end. Says, I remember with gratitude the fruits and labors of others, which I have shared as a part of the normal experience of daily living. I remember the beautiful things that I have seen, heard, and felt, some as a result of the definite seeking on my part, and many that came unheralded on my path, warming my heart and rejoicing my spirit. I remember the new people I have met, from whom I have caught glimpses of the meanings of my own life and true character of human dignity. I remember the dreams that haunted me during the year, keeping me ever mindful of goals and hopes which I did not realize, but from which I drew inspiration and sustained my life and keep steady to my purposes. And I remember the awareness of the Spirit of God that sought me out in my aloneness, and gave to me a sense of assurance that undercut my despair and confirmed my life with new courage and abiding hope. I wish you all a very, very happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. God bless you, friends. I love you.